Welcome to Epiphany Brooklyn's podcast. I am Brandon Watts, lead pastor here at Epiph. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our desire is to join Jesus in his mission to redeem our city. May God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Grace and peace.
Man, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I love that part of that verse that says, the humble hear and are glad. Anybody glad you made it to church? Anybody glad that you alive? Like, we done survived a whole earthquake. I know it was only a 4.8, but we done survived a whole earthquake. And some of us don't even have to look as drastic as natural disasters to rejoice. The fact that you woke up and got breath in your body today is sheer grace. It's sheer mercy. Man, God didn't owe you a day, but he gave you another chance. He gave you another time. We used to sing a song back in the day, old Baptist church I used to go to. It says, I'm glad to be in the service. I'm glad to be in the service. Glad to be in the service one more time. And then the song would say, he didn't have to let me live. He didn't have to let me live, but I am glad to be in the service. Praise God for corporate worship. I'm a little biased when I say this, but man, there's just nothing like Epiphany. I know I'm biased. Like, I get it, but it's just Epiphany warms up my heart. Anybody got that testimony that Epiphany has made great impact on your life? Great impact. Listen, I know I'm biased, and I get that, but there really is no place like Epiphany, and I'm sure every pastor would say that, but there just isn't, and I stand by it. I say it in my best NeNe Leakes voice. I said what I said. It's just no place like it. The corporate worship, the band, the singers, the worship, the spirit of the living God living in this place. Man, I am grateful. I am grateful to belong to a church. And then also the fact that we get to open up the Word of God together. So let's do it. Grab your Bibles and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is where we're going to hang out. Hey, let me just say, man, we had an amazing prayer night on Friday. An amazing prayer night. I preached a sermon a few months ago that talked about how your next season requires prayer. And man, I'm so serious when I say I would love for our prayer nights, which is the first Friday of each month. We call it Upper Room. I would love for those prayer nights to look like this, if not more. I'd love to see a line outside. Like, I'm serious because God, you know, God, there's just so much that happens when we get together and corporately pray. And I just want to just publicly shout out one of our deacons, but just amazing, amazing woman of God. Can y'all help me thank God for Ayo? Amen. She walks in such, she's quiet, but she, you know, she gets feisty. She can get feisty. She can be a little bully sometimes. I love her. But she's quiet, but she walks in such power and such authority, and she walks in such wisdom. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to know her. I feel like I'm a better believer because of her. And I wanted to shout her out. Also, man, thank you guys for your grace. Specifically last week, I know it was a lot. It was a lot of people. I'm not sure if you were upstairs or if you made it in, but it was definitely a busy Sunday. I just want everybody to know that, you know, we're certainly paying attention, and we're trying to figure out ways to continue to make room and, you know, continue to try to accommodate as many people that are coming and do so safely. That's our number one priority. Is we want to be as safe as possible. We don't want to block entrances. I don't know if y'all remember two Easters ago where we just put chairs everywhere and we just like tried to fit everybody in. So we tried to be a little bit more wise this year. But also we want to, you know, I just want you to know that if you're just coming and you're going and, you know, you're not sure if this is home or not, and you're kind of like, we want to see you plugged in, because I genuinely believe, as your pastor, I believe that the greatest investment into your spiritual growth is connecting to the body of Christ. It is. The church, with its flaws and all, the church is the best place for your spiritual formation and your spiritual growth. And so I just want to say that, man, as people are coming and checking things out, man, just consider what would it look like for you to spiritually grow. And also, last thing I'll say is, you know, as we're looking and trying to pay attention to the growth of the church, I want everybody to be very, very clear that the drawing factor is one person, and that's Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? I just don't want anybody to get it twisted. It's always, always, always about Jesus. Let's get to the Word of God. We're in Psalm 103. I'm just going to jump right in. I only got a couple verses. These things have been brewing in my spirit. Verse 2. Are y'all there? Just say, I'm there, B. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. I want to preach today from the topic entitled, Don't Forget to Remember. Just help me announce that. Look at your neighbor with your great preacher voice and just say, don't forget to remember. Come on, look at somebody else with a T.D. Jakes voice. Say, oh, neighbor. Say, don't forget to remember. Let's look to the Lord. Father, before we dig in, we always pause and, of course, invite you into this moment. You don't need an invitation. You're here. But, Lord, we invite you in so that we can experience you differently today. So, Father, I pray, oh God, for some young lady that walked in. Pray for some young man that walked in heavy. Pray that your word would do it exactly what it said it would do. Your word tells us that it's alive and it's active and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. So Lord, cut us and mend us and do spiritual surgery on us. But Lord, I also pray that you would be with us in the recovery as we dig into your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Speak to us today. It's in the mighty name of your son, our king, we pray. Amen. Don't forget to remember. There is a medical term which points to a part of the brain, and the medical term is called the hippocampus. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this before, but the hippocampus is, it's genuinely where all of your memories are stored. And so if you have the ability today to think back into, you know, some previous situations or some previous events that have happened in your life, it is because you have full access today of what's called your hippocampus. In fact, I'll say it this way, that is the same part of the brain that when disease starts to attack that part of their brain or that part of the brain begins to rapidly lose tissue, it is where you get diagnosed with what's called Alzheimer's disease. Because the hippocampus honestly is one of the greatest parts of your being and one of the greatest parts of your mind. Can you imagine if your mind was only able to reason, but you weren't able to remember yesterday? Like every day you just completely forget the next day and then you wake up and you do it. Like, can you imagine what life would be like? God has given us the gift. Here it is, to remember. He's given you a gift to pull out a mental VHS tape and pop it in and remember specifically. Y'all know what VHS is? I just got to check the room. I don't know. But I don't be knowing, man. A couple weeks ago, I said VHS and a girl right in this section, I promise you, I think she was Googling VHS. But, you know, we have the ability to very vividly think about things that happened not last month, not 2 weeks ago, but think about things that happened decades ago. And if you're like me, I can recall things that happened decades ago, and I can recall them with specificity. I can think about where I was. I can think about what I had on. I can think about, you know, the smell of the room. I can draw an emotion. I remember when I first learned how to ride a bike when I was a kid. It was my brother. He's 13 months apart from me. My brother taught me how to ride a bike, and he said, man, you're clumsy, so you're going to fall on the cement, so I'm not going to teach you on the cement. He taught me on the grass, which was harder to ride a bike on grass, but it was a soft surface. He had this whole thing in his mind. It was a soft surface, and when I fell, I didn't get hurt, and then finally he put me, after a few tries, he put me on the cement, and it was easier to ride, and I didn't fall, and so I can remember the conversations we were having. I can remember very vividly the day I got my license. It was my 17th birthday, May 1st, and I'll never forget when I got my license, and I remember exactly what I did after I got my license. I remember it was my brother-in-law that took me to get I remember all of it. He said, bro, if you hit them cones, when you come out, I'm hitting you in your face. That's how he talked to me, man. He passed away last year, but he'd knock you out in a second. And so I remember that. You know what else I remember? I remember the day I met Ty. I remember the day I met Ty because I was just coming out of a previous relationship, and I was like, man, I ain't dating nobody. You know how you get in the season, like, it's just me and the Lord. I got work on me. And then she walked in the room. I said, my, what do we have here? That thing went right out the window. You know how y'all got that list? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And some of y'all in that season right now, like, I ain't dating anybody. Let the right person walk in the room. Will change your life forever. I remember when my two boys were born. They were born in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I'll never forget the day that they were born. I remember the room. I remember how cold it was. I remember conversations that we were having. Anybody else like me, you can just recall back vivid memories back to childhood. Anybody in the room? Now here's the thing. You know, there's an anonymous quote that says the only thing greater than the stars is the minds that study the stars. Our minds, God has given us great minds, and part of your mind is the hippocampus. It is the place where I can remember. And here's the problem with memory. The only problem with memory is that memory can be selective. You're able to draw back and think about some details of an event that was meaningful to you, but I bet you if I pulled the list of your life out, there's some stuff that you just don't remember. Ty and I was having a conversation earlier this week, and she was telling me about something earlier on in our marriage, and I was like, man, I genuinely don't remember that, because there are moments in your life that you can be selective in what you remember. In fact, write this down. I'll say it this way. We tend to remember what we should forget, and we forget what we should remember. We tend to remember, we remember things that we should forget. There are some things and some vivid memories that you have that honestly you should wipe out of your mind. They are destructive for you. They don't build you up. They make you feel like you are not of value. They destroy your self-worth and your confidence. There are some things in your mind that you need to be praying, Lord, block this one out. In fact, the way he says it is, I will throw your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And we are so guilty of going down and putting on scuba gear into the sea of forgetfulness and going to grab that memory and pulling it back up. And you are wondering why you are so hindered in movement and moving forward. I wonder if it's because we're remembering what we should have forgot. Some of you have hindrances in your life because you were remembering past failures. Some of you are stuck at the memory of a past success. See, y'all think it's just memories of past pain and failure that are hurting you. You do realize that one of the things that can hinder you from progressing is actually remembering seasons of success, because some of us are so guilty of only knowing God based on the last great thing he did. And you don't realize that you serve an Ephesians 3:20 God that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Some of us are so stuck because we were like, God, you're so great. God, you're so great. And he's like, I know I'm great, but guess what? I'm greater. I'm greater than what you last experienced with me. And so some of us are stuck because of past failure. Some of us are stuck in memory of past success, and we just keep rehearsing the success and rehearsing the success. And God is like, move on, because I got more. Some of us are stuck because of memories of past pain. And I'm talking about past painful relationships. I know how it is. Some of you, you young ladies, you reject good men simply because you like, ain't nobody ever gonna hurt me again. And I get that, but I wonder if it's because we're holding on. Brothers, we do that too. Some of y'all treat women so bad, and it's because you're like, you know what? This is a defense mechanism. I gotta treat her this way or not make her feel valued, because if I make her feel valued, then I open up my heart. And if I open up my heart, she'll hurt me. And so therefore, I'm just gonna live a life where I just disrespect all the women that are in my life. And it's probably because you are holding on to a past painful relationship. Just look at your neighbor and just say, move on. Because you are stuck. You are misusing the hippocampus. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 says it this way. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward. And of course, that has a primary meaning, but I think the secondary application is that sometimes we are holding on to stuff in our mind that we really should let go. Can I speak more about that? I want to speak more about that relationship. that really messed you up. And I'm not trying to, I really think that you are hindering yourself from something that is healthy that God actually does have for you. Yesterday, I ran out of toothpaste. Now, me and Tyre, I used toothpaste today. But I ran out yesterday, and me and Tyre unified in 99.9% of life. The only thing we're not unified in is toothpaste. We just use two different. I don't like her toothpaste. She doesn't like my toothpaste. And so we got two separate ones. But I ran out of mine, and so I used hers. And I didn't realize hers has, this lingering, aftertaste. You know, and then, you know, after I brushed, I gargle, and I use Listerine, but I don't use the Fresh Burst or the Cool Mint. I use the Gold. It's burn a layer of skin off your mouth. You know when you wake up, you need a layer to go, right? Burn it off. And so I used Ty's toothpaste, I gargled, and then we had to run out and run some errands. And so we got to a little, it was a coffee shop, bakery. And so, we got some stuff. And one of the things I love fresh squeezed orange juice. I love it. Like it makes me feel good. If I'm sick, it makes me feel better. It's preventative in terms of my immune system. I love the way it tastes. I can taste the difference between fresh squeezed orange, y'all know what I'm talking about? And regular orange juice. Like I can taste the difference. And so I ran out, and the first thing before I sipped coffee, I took a sip of orange juice, but I had the taste of Ty's toothpaste. And watch this. Something left a lingering taste in my mouth that messed up a future experience. And I think that's the case with some of us. We are so hindered in relationships because we can't move forward because you're too busy using that optic white toothpaste called relationship. And God is like, I got some healthy orange juice for you, but you can't enjoy this because you're stuck in the past. Somebody say move on. It's the great theologian Teddy Pendergrass that said, I think I better let it go. We need to learn to move on. Somebody say, preach, B. Here's the thing. We are rehearsing what we should be forgetting. We are going over that relationship, and we are going over that offense. And God is like, don't rehearse it, release it. Let it go, because I got more for you. And so, past pain. You know what else hinders us? It's not just past failures. It's not just past success. It's not just past pain. But some of us are hindered because of past sexual experiences. And I'm talking specifically to some of you that had, whether you, God forbid, were molested, God forbid, were somebody violated you and took advantage of you, and God forbid, maybe you were raped, or maybe it's not, maybe it's just I had this deep, dark experience, and, I was sexually promiscuous, and, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, you have all of these memories in your mind, and it's perverted what you think about sex, and the reality is the Bible tells me that sex is good. Somebody say sex is good. I need a married person to say amen. Amen. It's real good. Now, here's the thing. Some of us don't believe it's good because our first experiences of it was not good. But when I read, the first mention of sex was from God. And you know what he said? Be fruitful and multiply. That sounds good. That doesn't sound bad. So sex is good. Not only is it good, but sex is from God. But the problem is some of us are stuck because that hippocampus deep embedded into our memory is a past sexual experience that really hurt us, that messed us up. And we need to learn to let it go. You know why else some of us can need to let it go? Maybe it wasn't painful, right? Maybe it wasn't a bad experience. Maybe it was a crazy sexual desire and fantasy, and you fulfilled it, and it wasn't bad. And here's the thing. And now you've trusted in Jesus, and you've repented of it, and you feel like you've moved on from it. Now, here's what I want to suggest to you. You shouldn't just learn to repent of the past sexual experience, but you have to learn to repent of every time you rehearsed it in your mind in a way that was lustful. Because some of y'all are like, I'm abstinent now. It's been 2 years. But you rehearsed the sexual sin 22 times, and God is like, don't just repent of the 2 year one, but repent 22 times. Oh, I got to give you Jesus. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Where he talks about, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I say, if you look with lustful intent, you've already committed it. Jesus is like, I ain't just talking about behavior, but that stuff that you're rehearsing in your mind in a lustful way, you better learn to repent of that as well. There are some things that we remember that we should forget. some things that we have to learn to move on from. Now, even though there are some things that we remember that we should forget, the opposite is true as well. There are some things that we forgot that we really should remember. Pastor B, well, what did I forget? Remind me today of what I forgot. Well, I'm not going to do it. David wrote Psalm 103, and he says in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There's another translation that reads it this way. It says, "Do not forget all of the things that he has done." In this passage, David is calling us to reflect on the goodness of God. He's calling us to reflect on the things that God has done. He's calling us to look in retrospect and find ways to be grateful and find ways to be thankful. We misusing that hippocampus. David is saying, if you want to remember something, remember the benefits of the Lord. This word benefits in the Hebrew literally means how kind he is. Remember how kind God is. And I would argue that there are some of us in the room that has forgotten. We forgot how good God is. And one of the reasons that we forget how good God is because we don't realize that a God is that is consistently good, sometimes you can overlook his goodness. It's like a person in your life that always shows up and is always there, and that person is always there for you. You start to expect that they will be there. And we treat God the same way, where God is faithful and God is loving and God is kind. And because he's all of those things at all times, you ain't never seen an unkind God. You sometimes can take advantage and stop to think about the goodness of God. So David says, you got to think about God's goodness. I know he's consistently good. Zach stood up here and said, God is good and all the time. You know why we didn't have to rehearse that? Because you know that embedded, I don't care if you've trusted in the Lord, you knew that saying. You know why you knew it? Because embedded into your heart is God's, not just goodness, his consistent goodness. The reason we can easily say he's good all the time is because we don't ever know a moment where he's not good. Can I prove this to you? Let's look at the fact that you woke up this morning. Here's a stat for you. He woke 100% of this room up. 100%. And I would argue that 60 to 70% of the room never said thank you for waking up this morning. You know why you didn't say thank you? You ain't mean nothing by it. You weren't trying to be malicious. You weren't trying to disrespect God. You weren't trying to honor him. It's the fact that you woke up every day of your life that you don't know what it's like not to wake up. And so because he woke you up every day, it's easy for me to just wake up and move on with my life. Because he is consistently good. I'm about to turn 44 next month. And I've never, praise God, I wear a size 10 and a half feet. Just like to slip that in there real quick. Hey, I've never experienced a morning where I didn't wake up. Never. And so you know how many mornings I just went on with my business. I grabbed my phone and pulled up TikTok and just kept moving. But then you have to get into this moment where David says, don't forget all of his benefits. You woke up this morning. If you didn't say thank you, it is because God has been consistently good, not because you don't like God. He's just so good all the time. You don't know how to always give him the credit. And so a God that's good all the time, we say thank you sometimes. What about clothing? I felt it too. What about clothing? Like, y'all look nice today. Like, you had options. You got to say, what sweater am I gonna wear? What jeans, what shoe? You had options. There is somebody that has no option. Nobody ran in here butt naked going, Gabe, I need clothes. Nobody did that. You know why? Because a God that dresses you every single day, sometimes we don't give him credit for the things he does. What about food? You ain't. Now, maybe you went some nights without eating. But I bet you that nobody in this room can make the claim that I almost starved to death. We say it, but none of us can actually make that claim. You know why we can't make that claim? Because we serve a God that provides for us. And here's the problem. When we take advantage of the blessings of God at the core, we are really taking advantage of the blessor. Y'all hear me? You do not just take advantage of the blessings. You're not just taking advantage of the fact that you woke up and you got food. And you are also taking advantage of the blessor, the one, the source, the one who has given you those things. And so you came in this morning, it's 12:11, this afternoon, for me to just simply say, do not forget to remember all of his benefits, all of his goodness, all of his mercy, all of his kindness, all of his grace. There's some practical ways in which I think we can do better with remembering. This is not deep and theological, it's just practical. Here's one practical way that you can do better with remembering God's faithfulness is to pick up journaling again. Can I just see the journalers in the room? Anybody a journaler? You can see. Hey, look at the room. Now, if you don't have your hand up and maybe you were and you fell off, you really need to get back to it. I was a horrible journaler. I just didn't have the consistency. And Ty actually taught me in 2014 how to journal. And so this morning I went and got all, these are all my journals from 2014 up until today. And man, I was looking through one of the journals this morning. This is my first journal that I started. Ty said, this is how you journal. And so I learned how to journal. And man, I wrote something here. I was still living in Philly. This is February 6, 2014. And God started to download this idea of planting a church. And here's what I wrote. This is before we had anybody sitting in a coffee shop on Lombard. Here's what I wrote. What does epiphany mean? And I wrote next to it, Titus 2:11. If you walked in here and saw that mural, you see Titus 2:11 up there. It's because God downloaded that. And I didn't forget. I wrote it down. I wrote down, why plant a church? Matthew 28. I wrote down, why Brooklyn? I put at that time, 2.6 million people, 680 churches, the borough of churches. Why another church? I wrote down, what are we passionate about? I wrote down core values. I wrote down long-term goals. And then I wrote down a prayer. And some of this, I was just fickle, so I'm not going to read the prayer to you. But I just need you to understand that when you journal and when you write down, you become an inscriber that's writing down the faithfulness of God and writing down God's consistency. And so when you forget, you get to look back at 2014 and be like, oh, he answered that. Thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all need to journal. You need to journal. You know what else is practical but helpful in memorizing and remembering God's faithfulness? Telling others about his faithfulness. I know it seems like that's not a big deal, but man, I don't know how y'all are wired, but I am so fulfilled when I tell others the things of God. You know, I'm fulfilled when I tell people about a good restaurant. In fact, I don't feel satisfied when I get up from the table. I feel satisfied when I text two or three people and be like, yo, you got to try this spot. It somehow, some way fulfills my joy and the enjoyment. And I bet you your relationship with the Lord will skyrocket if you begin to tell people the things, all of the benefits that God has done. And so David says, man, look, forget not his benefits. But then you know what I love about David? What David then does is he catalogs at least three. Now you can go on with the rest of the chapter based on time in a third service. I ain't got time, so I'm gonna give you three. He catalogs three ways that God is faithful, and he calls us today to put those in our hippocampus. Here it is, verse number two. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Here's one of the ways. Who forgives all your iniquities? Do not forget his benefits. What is one of his benefits? The one who forgives. The fact that you are forgiven is something that you should constantly be rehearsing in your mind. The reason we do communion every service, every Sunday, is because the Bible, here it is, says, as often as you do this in... That's your memory. He says, go back to the hippocampus, and I need you to think about the gospel. And so, in other words, at the core of the gospel is forgiveness. And so he says here, the God who forgives all your iniquities, despite the mistakes that you made, despite the slip-ups, despite the foolish decisions, you have a God that forgives you. Others condemn you. God forgives you. Others hold your past over your head. And man, I felt this in the first service. There are some people in your life that won't let you move past how they met you. But you need to move past that. Because here's the reality, others may hold you to how they met you, but you serve a God that forgives you. Others may hold it over your head. Others will constantly point out your flaws. But you have a God that doesn't point out your flaws, but says, I took on all of your flaws, and now you are considered forgiven. I don't think we understand what forgiveness means. That guilty people get to walk around as innocent. And the innocent stood on the cross as though he needed forgiveness. He needed no forgiveness. At the core of this, it is the gospel. I'm not going to heaven because I'm perfect. I'm going to heaven because I'm imperfect, but forgiven. I'm forgiven. Look at your neighbor and just say, are you forgiven? It's called grace and mercy. I love the way that, I'm not going to go through all. I just love the way verse 3 ends, where it talks about your steadfast love and your mercies. It is the grace of God that I am forgiven. It is the mercy of God. I deserve death. I deserve penalty. I don't deserve freedom and liberty. But the fact that Lamentations 3 says that when I wake up, every single morning I wake up, I get new mercy. This morning, you woke up. And you got new mercy. I just want you to think about that for a second. Like, tomorrow, you don't get Sunday mercy for Monday mess ups. Tomorrow, you get new mercy. Tuesday, new mercy. You know why y'all not praising God? Because you don't think you that filthy. But I know me. I know without the grace and the mercy of God, I would be underneath the hell. But when you realize that God gave you grace and God gave you mercy, it should stir affection up in your spirit. I know what you're doing. I've been getting this question a lot. Pastor B, here you go preaching on grace. You know, when you preach on grace, that means people can walk out and do whatever they want. No Christian thinks like that. When I think about grace and the fact that he didn't kill me when I messed up, you know what it does to me? It makes me fall to the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, because you were gracious. And so he says, man, one of the ways, if you want to rehearse something, rehearse the fact that you have been forgiven, that you serve a consistent God that consistently forgives you, the mercies of God, that there's new mercy after new mercy after new mercy. And here it is. Some of you in here, you don't think you're forgiven. You're wrestling with whether, I thank you, Lord, you're wrestling with whether you are forgiven. But do you realize that your forgiveness was purchased at the cross of Jesus Christ? That forgiveness was bought with the precious. That is what it took for you to be forgiven, was the precious blood of heaven's best. That's what it took. So here's the first. First thing that you need to be rehearsing is the fact that you're forgiven. Can I give you the second? The second is here. Y'all with me? Yeah. Who forgives all our iniquities. Here's the second. And who heals all of our diseases. The second thing he calls you to remember is the fact that your God has power to heal you. Some of you walked in here with a chronic illness. You walked in here with a chronic pain. And what you've done is you came in here for theology, but you didn't come in here to receive Jehovah Rapha. The Bible gives him nicknames. Jehovah Rapha means the God who heals me. I don't know how y'all do, man, but man, there are times where it depends on how long you've been in the sickness, or maybe somebody connected to you. You stop thinking that God is a healer, but I wonder if he's setting you up like a ball on the tee ball, where he's setting you up to knock this healing out the park so that you'll give him glory. Because the God we serve is Jehovah Rapha. Earlier this week, man, this verse became alive to me. I don't know if you guys know this, but on Wednesday, I was sitting here in the office, and Gabe was on the phone with Ty, and I didn't know anything was going on, but Ty was in an Uber on her way to see a sick friend, a family member that's sick. And she's on her way to Mamamity's, and as she's going there, the Uber driver just slams into the back of a parked car. Now, here's the thing that you may not know. Ty's had 3 back surgeries. She had one in 2008. She had two in 2018, 10 days apart. And so she looked good. But I don't know if y'all realize that, you know, there's some health complications. She has this thing called dry foot. Am I giving too much, baby? I'm giving all of it. All right. She has this thing called dry foot where she doesn't have full mobility in one foot. And when she hit the back of the car, she got off the phone with Gabe and she calls me and she said, I think something's wrong with my back. Now, y'all don't know. I live 40% of my life making sure Ty's back is good. She don't open the door if I'm there. She sweep. I be like, don't pick it up. I'm going to pick it up. Or when them boys going to pick it up. Like, I make sure that she doesn't have to do anything that's straining on her back. And the thought that she was in the back of this Uber and she slams into the back of this car and then she calls me, she says, my foot is numb. She said, I think my back is messed up. And I'm on the phone with her to call the ambulance. She gets in the ambulance, the whole ambulance ride. I'm talking to her. I'm jumping in the Uber because I was here. Jumping the Uber. I'm on my way. I'm going, what's going on now? I get to the hospital, and she's laying in the emergency room. This was Wednesday. And her right leg started spasming and just started moving uncontrollably. And I'm sitting there like, babe, let's pray. And we started to pray. Do you realize that she walked out of that hospital fine? Listen, y'all, they said run a CAT scan. They did the CAT scan. The doctor was amazed. You're fine. I don't see nothing on the CAT scan. They said, go get an MRI. And I'm like, all right, we're going to do it. But I know she's healed. You know why? Because we prayed, and I serve a Jehovah Rapha that went down. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And touched her body. He touched her body. And here's how the enemy is. After that, it was pouring raining on Wednesday. We walked upstairs to visit that friend that's sick, sick in the hospital. And then I got home and I opened up. The devil's so stupid, he should have let me get to verse number 2. I said, oh, the God who heals all our diseases. It's the God we serve. And somebody in this room, you may not have the testimony yet, but you serve a God that knows how to dry up cancer. You serve a God that knows how to shrink tumors. You serve a God that takes high blood pressure and brings it low. You serve a God that regulates lungs. I need somebody to praise Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. You don't have to live with that. Do you realize that the Bible tells me in Revelation that when we get to heaven, there is no more sickness? There ain't no hospitals. There ain't no CAT scans. You can have a glimpse of heaven here. Now, I ain't promising that he'll heal you, but I know one thing about God. He's able to. Our God has able to heal us. You know why? Because he heals. And I love this. It doesn't just say he heals a disease. He says he heals all your diseases. There's more life. That thing won't take you out of here. He's building a testimony. That thing will wreck your life. And you know what the crazy thing about? Let me go deeper on healing because it's not, I gotta go quick. It's not just physical healing. If you look at this, the book end statements to this chapter, it opens with, bless the Lord, oh my. That's spiritual. And so the healing that God wants to give to somebody in this room isn't just physical. If he healed you physically, you still can die and go to hell. But the healing that he has for somebody in this room is spiritual. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. My soul. God, we serve a God that wants holistic health. I want to see you healed in your mind, in your body, in your soul. In fact, put your hand on your mind real quick. Lord, I pray for each and every mind in this room. Somebody right now, the devil is trying to torment them and twist them. But Lord, would you remind them of your goodness and remind them of your grace. Lord, I pray for mental stability in the room. God, I pray for mental health in the room. I pray that we would be people that really walk in holistic health because we believe that that's what you want from us. Jehovah Rapha, heal our minds in Jesus' name. God wants to heal your mind, your body, and your soul. Now, here's the thing about all three of those. Your mind, yes, God can easily heal it, but don't you dare over-spiritualize your trauma. You better go to therapy. You better go to counseling because God has gifted people to ask you the right questions. So you need both. And I would say the same thing about our bodies. Don't you dare ask God to dry up tumors and you eating chopped cheese every morning and Celsius drinks. Hate them drinks. Somebody need it. I'm telling you, we over-spiritualize stuff. You know what you need to spiritually do? Go to the gym. It's too much. Go to the gym. I'll play for myself. Because I need backup on this part. Go to the gym. And here's the thing. I'm not talking to people that are overweight. Because some of us, you know, I walk up the steps and I get to the top of the steps and I'm going, go to the gym. Because God, I want God to use a holistic, healthy me. I need you to use my mind and use my body. But guess what else he heals? Your soul. It's spiritual healing that God wants to bring to the house. Okay, I'm going to move on. First, he says, how do you remember? Let's remember that we are forgiven. Second, what do we remember? Well, let's remember that he heals all of our diseases. And then finally, our third, he says, and he who redeems your life from the pit. Can we work here just for a second? The thought of redemption messes me up. I don't think we understand the definition of redemption. The very definition of what it means to be redeemed is to regain possession in exchange for payment. So what is the payment that brought my redemption? The payment that bought my redemption happened over 2,000 years ago on Golgotha's hill, where Jesus stood there bloody and condemned for you. And that is where you can say, I am redeemed. Now, just by show of hands, and if you're going to put your hand up, it's all good. Redemption is available for you today. But just by the show of hands, who's been redeemed in the room? Okay, I'm glad you got it up. That's Psalm 103. Let me take you a few. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. I'm going to take you to chapter 107, because chapter 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you got your hand up, I now need your mouth open, because you serve a God that has redeemed you and bought you from the pit of hell and ransomed you. I need you to open up your mouth in the room. Come on, open up your mouth in the room. You've been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've been redeemed, man. Christ has absorbed the very wrath that stood against me. Christ has purchased my salvation. He settled the debt. He's given me liberty. He's given me freedom. And so when you rehearse something in your mind, what you need to rehearse is the very gospel that saved your soul. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. It is at the cross. These ain't just hymns. This is my story. That I received sight. Something happened to me at the cross. The brutality of the cross is what it takes to redeem your soul. 6 hours on the cross, bleeding, is what redemption looks like. See, we've bought into the lie of a cheap grace. Oh, we've bought into the lie of a cheap mercy and cheap forgiveness and cheap redemption. Redemption ain't cheap. It didn't just cost anything. It cost God heaven's best. Think about it. Every angel is singing one hook, holy, 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 taking off their crowns and putting them before the feet of Jesus. And God the Father says, I got to do something to redeem them people back to me. So heaven's best, get down there and get on the cross. And the Bible tells me that Jesus, with the joy set before him, went and endured the cross. I just want to preach to redeemed folk to remind you of the things that you should remember. What should I remember? That I've been forgiven. What should I remember? That he heals my disease. What should I remember? That he redeems me. Oh, I'm going to end here. Worship team, come on up. Let me tell you where he redeems you from. Did you read it in the verse? It says he redeems you. Look at the verse. Somebody yell it out to me. From the pit. Thank you, Ayande. He redeemed me from the pit. But do you know what the next part of that verse says? Can you read the next part? And crowned you. So let's think of this two ways. Y'all come on up here. Don't be scared. Let me think of it two ways. He redeemed me from the pit. But then the next part of the verse says I'm crowned. So I'm redeemed from the pit. But where does crownings take place? In the palace. So in other words, he takes you from the pit of hell and puts you into the palace where Jesus is on the throne. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what we give our life to. Redemption. I want to go back just briefly, and I don't have time, y'all. I really don't. Briefly, if you're in this room and you're struggling with a sickness, maybe you got a bad diagnosis, there's something that there's a chronic pain that you have, a consistent pain. Maybe you've got the procedure and it still isn't better. Can I introduce you to the great physician today? I just want to pray for you. If that's you, if you're in the room, you'll be like, I have a sickness. There's something that I've been battling with, I've been wrestling with. If you do me a favor, just come down to the altar. I promise y'all, we don't have time. So just come to the altar now. I want to pray for you now. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Come on, if you are in here and you're like, I've been battling this and I've gotten to the point in life where it just became normal. I got to live with this. This is just my lot. And maybe it is, but guess what? You better believe today by faith that God is able to heal you. Because I just read a verse that called him Jehovah Rapha. I don't know who it is in this room. Maybe you're still seating. Maybe you're upstairs. Today is the day that holistic health can be brought to your life. I want to lay my hands on every single person. Because let me tell you what Peter says. Let me tell you what Peter says. Peter says, let those who are sick among you call upon the elders and let them lay their hands. Father, I pray, oh God, for each and every person that's on this altar. By the power of God, I pray, oh God, that you would touch their bodies. I pray that you would touch their minds. Whatever that diagnosis was, Lord, I pray that you would reverse it. Maybe we haven't gone to the doctor. Maybe we just have an illness and we have something that we are struggling with. But Lord, help us to really believe that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you are the God that heals. Forgive us, oh God, for theologizing you. Forgive us, oh God, for thinking deep instead of just saying, you know what? I serve a God that's able to heal me. Touch these bodies. Touch these bodies now. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would regulate it now. And I pray, oh God, that when they go back to the doctor, that the doctor would be baffled. And they wouldn't be baffled. You know what they would say back to the doctor? Oh, I just had a meeting with Jehovah Rapha. And he touched my body. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, for the miraculous. I pray, oh God, for the charisma. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would do something that medicine can't do. Do something, oh God, that herbal tea can't do. Do something that those remedies can't do. Lord, I pray, oh God, for holistic healing. Somebody on this altar is believing God for an open womb. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would touch that young lady now. The same way you were able to touch Sarah's body, I pray that you would touch their bodies in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, I pray, oh God, for testimonies. Testimonies in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we call healing in the name of Jesus, in the name of your son, Jesus. We don't pray in your name. We pray that you would touch now. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.